This is Mobile Suit Breakdown, and these are the Patreon-exclusive extended outtakes from episode 1.27, Patrimony.
This is a very thoroughly edited podcast. I will make every effort to make everyone involved sound as smart as possible.
Cool.
Yep.
But also, those books were written... We'll wait for that to go by.
Okay. Got it.
These are the joys of recording in New York.
And you can also tell Anne, like, if you notice my voice change, that's me doing therapy voice. You should just tell me because I hate when I do that. So. Oh my God, truck stop. And by stop, I mean go away.
Yeah. Or just stop.
Or
if
turn
you just
off.
Want to sit out there, yeah. That's fine. Char, the clinical psycho... The clinicker...
The clinicker.
Clinicker. The clinicker. Char, the clinicker.
The training exercises in basic training are these situations to bond over, bonding over a officer, bonding over a joint goal. At least what they did here is give them the words to communicate that closeness to one another. I don't really know if he's doing a better job of being functional, but I was like, okay, no.
He's still a bit reckless.
He's still very reckless. It was funny because they're sexually charged and he was looking at Haman?
Haman, yeah.
Haman. So that was when he takes the moment to like I'm totally not jacking it, see?
I'm just holding my gun.
I'm just holding my gun. Which has always been a metaphor for a dick, so you know.
A sort of abstract penis, if you will.
Oh my God. Yes. And then poor Frau had to watch all that. She essentially watched him jack off to Miss Haman.
That one's going in the outtakes.
You were afraid to hold hands with me. Yeah, because it's dirty. Anyway.
I did wonder.
Amro is clearly thinking, and Fra is our only frontal lobe in existence. But that doesn't even play out with the mom. The mom is very stunted because she hasn't seen him change. And also, it would be hard to like see your child, the child that you knew that was 4 years old, to just be like, I'm gonna kill people now. So I have no idea about her. It's hard because she's not fleshed out at all. So we can't even talk about too much of what her motives may be.
Gimbae mukatte tobe yo Gundam kido.
Oh, you know what we forgot in the first part? The Mada ikari ni moeru hoshi ga aru nara kyodai ga teki yo utte yo utte yo utte yo seki ya ikari yo butsukero gandamu kido senshi gandamu gandamu. There we go. We skipped the first verse and then we did it at the end and then we missed the second verse. Obviously we don't know it as well as we thought we did. Gotta get on that.
Although, when Cameron is first on the bridge. We get a shot that's straight in front, so it's in front of Mirai, and Cameron is standing a little bit behind her, so her back is to him, mm-hmm. and he's behind her, so they don't see each other.
Right.
But he is speaking, and it does kind of seem like Mirai is in, like, very intentionally not looking around.
Oh.
I kind of got the impression Mirai was, like, trying to avoid being noticed, and then it's once they actually do notice each other, it's like, oh, it's so good to see you again.
I didn't get that at all. I thought she was just very intent on what she's doing. She's quite serious about her job.
Sure.
And, you know, they're being observed by people who aren't members of the crew. It's important to bring the ship in smoothly.
Of course.
Yeah, I didn't see any insincerity in her reaction to seeing him or any, like, purposeful avoidance.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm seeing in that shot is, like, her being aware of a stranger on the bridge and then not turning around to look. And I guess I just assume that she would have recognized his voice. Maybe it's been so long since they've seen each other, or she's just so wrapped up in what she's doing that she doesn't recognize it.
Well, and he takes a moment too, because she's speaking when he mm-hmm. comes onto the bridge. He hears her speak, and neither of them seems to notice. It's not until she starts speaking the second time
mm-hmm.
that he goes up to get a closer look at her.
I suppose it's a little bit like when Char and Sayla had their reunion, and Char just couldn't believe that his sister is this woman who looks exactly like his sister but is wearing a military uniform. That those little differences in your circumstances, in your situation, can make you seem like a totally different person, especially when you're in a place that the other person just doesn't expect you to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've ever run into someone you know but at a very unexpected location, you typically don't believe it's them at first. I've run into old classmates or old friends mm-hmm. at airports, and yeah. very unexpected airports, not big, busy airports like New York.
Yeah.
And it always, you know, I would get 3 or 4 yards past before turning around again and being like, oh, it's you.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town of like 5,000 people, and I once ran into one of my high school classmates in an airport on the other side of the world. So that, yeah, it was very startling. Yeah, well, and then she immediately, there are these younger orphans. Now, she's an orphan, but there are these younger orphans on the ship that she immediately takes on as her children, basically.
Did she do that by choice?
Yeah, it just, well, by choice or by default.
It's unclear if anyone else would have stepped into that role for them.
Okay.
And none of the adults on the ship ever offered to take care of or adopt those 3 kids, so.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long were they on the ship?
They're still there.
They're still there.
No, no, how long were they before she?
They joined with everyone else on Side 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the problem with seeing highlights, but yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being patient with me.
Of course. We appreciate you being here. I want the Conscon fleet attacking music to be my ringtone.
The scary pianos?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Why do you always want scary to be your ringtone?
Because the phone is terrifying.
So wouldn't you want to make it a little less terrifying?
No, that's just lies.
That truck is still there.
Yep.
I have many tests I'd love to give Mama Ro. I want him to fill out a personality test, and I'd like to sit with him in a room for a little while, just get a good read on him. And then we'd know.
I keep coming back to the very beginning of the show when our first glimpse of Amuro's father is him talking to Bright and saying how, oh, maybe if we make powerful enough weapons, kids won't have to go to war anymore.
Oh, yeah, and he has a picture of his son, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know that those memories were still there. Maybe they're still intact. We won't know. We mm-hmm. won't know because he said goodbye to his father. Aw.
Well, and his dad was like, get out of here. The
Get out!
His dad's reaction could not be more different from his mom's, because his mom says, his mom wants him to stay there. His mom wants him to be the person he was before all of this happened. And his dad says, well, you're a military man now, aren't you? Get out of here. Go do more Gundam things. What? Tell me how the Gundam is.
So, do you think that's a real acceptance, though, or more just like...
No, absolutely not. I think it's a different kind of rejection.
One parent, his mother, wants him to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
And one parent, his father, is taking the view of adulthood of, all right, you're an adult, get the hell out of my house.
Absolutely. Fulfill your role as a man. Get out.
Right.
I'm parenting you now. That's all you get, that sentence.
Yep.
That's probably what's happening, I feel. It's just more like, if we're talking about 60% cognitive capacity for him, at very least, of course he's going to be kind of short with him, and holding on to the last thing that he knows is just, go do the thing that you stole from me, essentially. So... yeah, if you're gonna take it from me, take it from me 100% and get out.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm still so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's like, can I test him? I'd like to know what his brain sickness looks like when you don't have oxygen.
Stray thought. I love the literal red tape.
Yeah. The peace bonding thing.
I wonder if that's a phrase in Japanese. I wonder if they say red tape.
Yeah, we'll look into that.
We will have to check.
And yeah, I'm curious about actual peace bonding, because it's a thing that comes up in like fantasy stories and sci-fi stories all the time. Like, tie your sword hilt with this red thread or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious to see if that was actually a real thing at any point. I'm sure it was at some point. I think the truck is gone.
All right.
And my voice is recovered a little bit.
Shall we begin at the beginning?
A very good place to start. Hello.